We're starting here on the top of Daf Chafayim with Aleph, three lines down. Sha'alu lifnei Rabbi, hamapelet shvir malei basar. Woman who discharges a sack of skin that is full of basar flesh, mahu. What's the din? So amalehem, lo shamati. I didn't hear anything about this. I don't know what the answer is. Amar lefanav, Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi, kach amar abo. Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi says, my father Rabbi Yossi said, if it's malei dam, if you have a shvir that is full of blood, Tmei'a nida. Malei basar. If you have a shvir that is full of basar, then tmei'a leida. Then it's classified as a leida. So you have a situation here which is somewhat similar to our Mishnah when we had the chaticha in the Mishnah. Over here, instead you have a shvir that's malei basar or a shvir that is malei dam. So when it comes to malei dam, the assumption being that it's dam nida and therefore she's tamei tumat nida. If it's basar, then the assumption is that it's a leida, and then it should be tamei tumat leida. Amalei, il malei davar chadash amarta lanu mishum avicho. Had you taught us a new halacha from your father, we would have listened to you. Achshav devehai kamaita ki yichida kamar kusumchu shamar mishum Rabbi Meir. Since the first statement you made is based on a position of a yachid, of an individual, it's not the position of the Rabbanan, but rather the position of an individual, sumchus, in the name of Rabbi Meir. Hanami, your second statement, Shemek Rabbi Yeshua Amra, Vein Alochag Rabbi Yeshua. So too, the second statement, maybe like Rabbi Yeshua, and Alocha is not like Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi is saying to Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yossi is, you made two statements. I know for sure about one of them that it's a dat yachid. Now, if that's the case, maybe the second statement is also a dat yachid. First statement he makes is that if you have a shafir malei dam, you have this sack, this skin that's full of blood, that is tumei tumat nida. That we saw back earlier this week, we saw that in the machloket with chaticha. When you had a chaticha that was malei dam, what's the din, or dam on the outside, dam on the inside, red on the inside. So if you remember back there was position of sumchus, which is Tan Rabbanan, and Chaf Aleph Amud Bet, Tan Rabbanan, Hamapelet Chaticha, sumchus omer mishum Rabbi Meir, v'chein hayah Rabbi Yeshua ben Asi omer kedvarav, korah, v'im yesh dam betucha tmeya. That position that you're stating over here, that a shafir malei dam is considered beitamei tumat nida, is premised on the position of sumchus, Amar Rabbi Meir, who's a dat yachid over there. We know the Rabbanan have a different opinion. So, I know about that. Then he makes a second statement. The second statement is, if I have a shafir malei basar, that's tamei tumat leida. Well, if you had said it's tam and I knew nothing about it, I would have said, oh wow, now we have a new chiddush. This is something, a memra that I didn't have before from Rabbi Yossi, and the halacha will be like that. But now that I know half the information, I know about that piece, that it's definitely a dat yachid, maybe the second piece of information you give me is also a dat yachid, which is that a shafir malei basar is classified as a leida. That'll be like Rabbi Yeshua, because he's also a dat yachid in this area. He's a dat yachid here, and then also here, the halacha will not be like Rabbi Yeshua. Now first thing, just about sumchus, if you remember back on Daf, Chaf Aleph Amud Bet, when we discussed this about chatichot coming out, over there in the Braita, it mentioned the case of a chaticha that is white. And there we said that's tamei tumat leida if you have an etzem, you have a bone inside of it. So Tosfot asks over here, I don't understand. If you're going to reference back to that Gemara and say that Shafir and Chaticha are the same, because Chaticha Malei Dam, you're saying is the same as a Shafir Malei Dam, they're saying the same thing about Malei Basar. So just like before, Chaticha Malei Basar is only Tamei Tumat Leida, it's white and has a bone in it. Say the same thing here by the Shafir, and nobody says that. So Tosfot says, Yesh Lomar, the Shafir Dami of Vlad Tvei Mechaticha. Shafir is a step closer to being a vlad than just a chaticha. But tamei, I feel ain't by etzem. And tamei, even if there's no bone inside of it. Afagav, the malei dam, shneihem shavim. Even though we're equating them when it comes to dam, nevertheless, when it comes to basar, a shafir is a more advanced stage than a chaticha. And we won't require the etzem that we do by a chaticha. Now what's this, Rabbi Yeshua? Titania, I'm a pelet shafir she'enu mirukam. Woman who discharges, miscarries this sack that comes out, skin, she'enu mirukam. Mirukam means evarim are formed. So enu mirukam means that it's shapeless. It doesn't have the shapes of the evarim in it yet. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, vlad. That is a vlad, and therefore you're tamei tumat leida. Chumim armim, enu vlad. It's not a Vlad. So this is what Rabbi is referring to. Maybe Rabbi Yossi is subscribing to the position of Rabbi Yoshua, that a Shafir is considered to be a Vlad Ma'aliyo, and that's why he's Mitamei Tumat Leidah. But the Rabbanon argue. So just like the position about Shafir Malei Dam is based on Sumkus Amri Meir Dat Yachid, maybe his position by Basar is also based on a Dat Yachid, and we won't subscribe to that. Now, we have a machloket about this machloket between Chachamim Rabbi Yoshua. Amar Reish Lakish. Mishum Rabbi Oshaya. Machloket ba'akur. Aval b'tzalul divrei hakol eno vlad. The machloket here is where it's a cloudy sack, but b'tzalul, if it's a clear sack, divrei hakol eno vlad. Everybody agrees it's not a vlad. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Amar b'tzalul machloket. If it's clear, that's where they have the machloket. Hibaylo. But when it's cloudy, everybody agrees it's a Vlad. Al Dilma, ben bazeh machloket, teku. That we leave as a teku. So now you have a sub-machloket on the machloket between Rabbi Shua and the Chachamim as to where they argue. You have a Shafir that's Malay Basar. Now what are we looking at? Are we looking at something that is clear in nature? Or are we looking at something that is cloudy in nature? That's the way Rashi reads it, it means cloudy. And clear means like it's water. There's nothing there. And that's why when Reish Lakish says the machloket is bakur, bitzalul, there is no argument because bitzalul is like water. And water is not anything. It's not going to be a leida. It's not going to be nida. Tosafot says even though the lashon of the Gemara favors Rashi, nevertheless he says, kach nira lefarish, bitzalul bakur, hainu basar akur, basar tzalul. Says that he leans towards explaining that the clear and the cloudy here is basar that looks clear and basar that looks cloudy. Because that's much more understandable in terms of the second position here, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who says, b'tzalul machloket. Why is there a machloket if it's mayim? If it's mayim, why is there any question here? If you're talking about basar tzalul, then you could talk about it being a machloket. So therefore, that's what it says. Even though the Lashon HaGemara favors Rashi, he is more inclined to say that we're talking about basar tzalul and basar akur over here. So now the Gemara says, meitave. Etzu da'arash Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Vayas Hashem lukim la'adam ulishto katnot or v'ayal bishem. Shem made for Adam and his wife and Chava katnot or v'ayal bishem. Now katnot from the word ketonet. Ketonet would be cloaks or tunics that were made out of or, of skin. So you would assume that, and the Pashtuta Pasuk is, that Hashem gave them something that was a third-party skin in order to wear. The way the Gemara is going to darshan over here is that Vayisalem katnot or is that Hashem made for them skin. That He gave them skin. They themselves skin. You can see that in Tosafot. Explains it clearly. L'meid, she'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu oseh or le'adam elim keinotzar. Hashem only puts skin on a person if it's already notzar, created. And that skin is an indication of yitzirah. And that's what we were discussing before. Is basar, is this or something that we should consider? Alma, b'or talya mitzah. Loshna akur, b'loshna tzalul. Has nothing to do with the tzalul or akur, according to Rashi, meaning water or clear water, clear or cloudy, according to Tosafot. The basar here, basar akur, basar tzalul. Why is that even relevant over here? All that's relevant is the or. You need the skin. In order to be considered a yitzirah, then you need or. You need skin. Iyamart bishlama b'tzalul machloket. So now let's go back. If you say that machloket is b'tzalul, haynu d'itzrich kra. That's why I need the pasuk. El iyamart bakur machloket, lamin likra. Svara ba'almahu. That's just a logical argument. So if you say the reason for Rabbi Yeshua is because it's cloudy, and that the fetus then was mimach, it dissolved, it sounds like inside the sack, it's not because of or, then kra lomali. Why do I need a pasuk? Now, if you tell me that the machloket is even in a case where it's salul, even in a place where it's clear, where we're not talking about a fetus that dissolved, that was once here and now it's nimoach, then I need the pasuk to teach me that the or, the sack that it comes out in, is the leida, because or is the determining factor over here. Because this is a shafir, she'enu merukam. It's or, it's skin without any shape to it. So then the pasuk tells me, don't worry about the fact that it's salul here, because it's or is enough. But if you say that machloket is only in akur, and not by clear, that means that the reason has nothing to do with the skin. Because by a clear shafir, he says, no leida. By a cloudy shafir, he says it is leida. Why? Because he's thinking that there was a vlad inside that was nimoach. But the or is not relevant. And lama likra, why would that be the position or the reason for his position? Elish mamina, you must conclude that machloket is bit salul, machloket, that machloket is bit salul shmamina. So that would be against Reish Lakish's explanation of the machloket, and like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who says bit salul machloket, b'chein amar Rav Nachman amar Rav Arvua, machloket ba'akur, aval bit salul, divrei kol, eino vlad. And then you have Rav Nachman amar Rabba going and saying the same thing that Reish Lakish said, which is that the machloket is by akur, not by, but, eit vei rova the Rav Nachman, so we said that there are indications of a Vlad. Even though you don't have a Vlad here, there are things that indicate a Vlad. Tinuf. Tinuf over here, usually tinuf means some sort of discharge, liquidy discharge, that is not the Vlad. And that is an indication of something. Now over here, the tinuf is actually the Vlad itself. It's miscarrying the Vlad, and you see this liquid or this mucousy objects coming out. That is a miscarriage of a Vlad. Bigasa, in a larger animal, shilya, the placenta or the afterbirth is an indication of Vlad, as we saw before, in shilya below Vlad. Veisha, shafir, o shilya, one or the other. Either one is an indication of birth. Vilu shafir beima, lo patar. When it comes to the shafir of beima, we don't say that that's a peter rechem. We don't say that that makes it patur from the next child being born, being a bechor. So now, iamart bishlamo betzalul machloket. If you say betzalul, when it's clear there's a machloket, v'shuma achi isha de rabbi bakra, patur ba shafir. So when it comes to a woman, we have a pasuk that says, v'yas Hashem u'kim adam ishto katnot or, v'yal bishem. So it's a gzeret hakaduv, that a shafir, something that has skin in it, is classified as being a leida. Bibehema, to lo rabbi kra, the pasuk doesn't have, we don't have a pasuk by behemot, therefore lo patar by shafir. So I can understand, it's all about a gzeret hakaduv. Or, is considered a leida by isha, not by a behema. Elohim amart be'akur machloket, if you say the whole machloket revolves around the akur, the cloudy side, then michde, sboru, it's again, it's a logical thing. Maishna isha, maishna behema. The reason by isha, we say that she is tamei tumat leida, is because we think there was a vlad here that was nimoach inside of this or. By behema, you could say the exact same thing. So why should there be a distinction between behema gasa and isha? So when it says, mi svarot, you really think that Rabbi Yeshua misha pashidle? You keep bringing these proofs as if Rabbi Yeshua has a definitive view over here. So both times, we brought a proof from the pasuk, as well as the proof here from this distinction between behema gasa and isha, that Reish Lakish and Rav Nachman are wrong in understanding the machloket being about akur and not about salul, but rather the whole machloket is about salul because the pasuk is an indication that you need information of that or is the only factor that matters. The distinction between Beima and Isha is gzeret hakatuv, and therefore or matters. So in all of these cases, we're assuming that Rabbi Yeshua says or is tamei tumat leida bivadai. So he says that's not right. Rabbi Yeshua svukei misvukilei. Here's a safek. V'azo hacha l'chumra, v'hacha l'chumra. He goes to chumra in all cases. Gami isha dimemonahu. By a woman, where the only question at hand is a monetary issue. Safek mamona l'kula. Over there, we're going to say we go l'kula. And amoti michaver olav araya. The kohen will have to come and prove that whatever was born here was a leida, or wasn't a leida. And what comes afterwards is now a bechor. So when you have this discharge of the or, we're just going to assume that it's a leida. Elohim Cain, you can prove otherwise. And of course, the queen can't prove otherwise. So he won't get his 5 shekel for the next child that is born. Because that's a motzi mechaver alayot. That's just a din in mamon. It's a monetary issue. There is no kedushat bechor by human beings. Human being that's born, that's a bechor, yes, there's a monetary obligation, but there's no isser, there's no kedusha embedded in it. Gabe beima di surahu. By Behema, now there's a much more involved situation here. It's not just monetary obligations to the Kohen. There is also Yisro de Ikad, the Gabe Gizav Avuda. Because you're not allowed to work with a Bechor. A Bechor has inherent Kedusha to it. It either should end up on the Mizbeach, or if it's Bechor Balmom, it still has requirements that you can't work with it. You can't do Gizav Avuda. You can't shear it. It has restrictions, Isurim, that you will violate if you use it. Over there, we also go to Chumrah, and therefore by Behema Gatsa, we said that a Shafir is not Chapoter the Rechem, and we'll go to Chumrah and give it to the Kohen. Now, even over there, there's also a monetary issue, which is that you're giving it to the Kohen. But we'd rather deal with the Isur than the Mamon issue. Fine, we're willing to give up Mamon to protect you from the Isur. So we're going to force you to give the next behemah to the Kohen as a Bechor, even though it's a Safek, because we don't want you to be involved in Giza Babudah. We want to make sure that there's no Isur involved here.
Okay, what do you do with that?
I mean, really, technically, you could keep it and treat it like
exactly.
A Bechor.
But
so Tosfot over here does not say that, because the fear over here is that we don't, if we do tell people they think that it's a Shafir is a birth, they're going to just think that it's not a Bechor at all. So I think they want to force people to give it as a Bechor, as a full-fledged Bechor, in order to maintain the integrity of the Kedusha without... And people won't believe you if you tell them, oh, yeah, it's Safek, keep it. So I think that was the feeling, that they had to give it. So normally you're right. When you have a Safek like this, you keep it and treat it like a Bechor. To your question, David. Achinami gabi isha, Safek tuma l'chumra. Exactly what you were just saying, that we have a Safek tuma l'chumra. What does Safek tuma l'chumra mean? Before, in the Perek, anytime we said Safek L'chumra means 14 days for Nekeva, and then 26 days to finish up for the Tara for the Zachar. That's not the case over here. When we say Safek L'chumra, 14 days of Tuman, that's it. That's the only thing you get. There is no Yimei Tara, because the alternatives are birth and nothing. So if it's not a Safek between a Zachar and Nekeva, it's a Safek between Leida and no Leida. So therefore you only get 2 weeks of Tuman, no days of Tara. But, I do think, this is just me, I didn't see anybody say this, but it is a chumra atili de kula. Because if you give her 2 weeks of tuma, if it wasn't a leida, say it was a nida, or something like that, she then is a riyat nida. Nida is tamei tuma for 7 days. After the 7 days, she enters into her yamei ziva. In her yamei ziva, if she was to sight for 3 days in a row, she would become a zava gdola, and she'd have to wait shiva nikim. Now that you give her 2 weeks of Tuma, when she has a sighting in the second week, you're going to say that she's just Tamei, Tumat, Leida, and that's it. It's not a problem. So she could have 3 sightings in the second week, which would have made her a Zava Gdola, and now she's protected from that because we're giving her 2 weeks of Tumat, Leida. So I didn't see anybody who says that. I don't know if we go to Chumra, the Shnei Tadim, to say that second week is not only Tamei, but if she has 3 days in a row, maybe she's Tamei, Tumat Ziva, Mi Safek. Nobody says anything like that, but I think that it would turn out to be a Kula if you gave her 14 days of Tuma also. So now here you have a position or an explanation of Rabbi Yeshua to say that Rabbi Yeshua is not definitive in his claim. It's not definitive. He thinks it's a Safek as to whether it's classified as a Leida or not. And therefore, the distinction between Isha and Behema has nothing to do with a fundamental distinction. It's a distinction where we go to Chumrah. By Isha, we go to Chumrah, which says that it's not a Bechor. By Behema, we go to Chumrah and say that it is a Bechor, that which comes afterwards. So it's not a Leida by Behema Gasa, it is a Leida by Isha. He's not coming to say, yes, it is a Leida, period. He doesn't know, and therefore he goes to Chumrah and states Tadim. If you do that already, then there's no proof from this brayta that we just brought about the distinction between Behema Gasa and Isha. On the other hand, we still didn't answer the problem about the Pasuk. The Pasuk makes it sound like the issue is Or and Or only. So that Gemara says, Umi Misfekele, Vakra Kamar. What about the Pasuk? If you bring a Pasuk, you obviously don't have a Suffolk. You have a definitive reason as to why you're being Mitamei. Says, no. Vakra Kamar, Midra Bonon, Vakras Machvalmahu. So that's your answer. David, you asked before about if you have a Pasuk, what's the question? The answer is that it's only a asmachta bi'alma, and therefore there really is a safek in the position of Rabbi Yeshua. So now we've undermined both proofs. Right. The drush is the drush. It's not the pashtut of pasuk, but the drush is not even a real limud. It's an asmachta, not a real limud. So here you had two proofs to the fact that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's explanation of the machloket was correct, that the machloket exists no matter what. Akur or tzalul, it all has to do with the or. We had two proofs to that fact. And now we came back and said, no, neither of them are proof. The Pasuk's not a proof to that because it's only Nesmachta, and therefore you can't read anything into that. And the Braita that we brought that distinguished between Isha and Behema Gasa is all premised on a Safek of going to Chumrah in both cases, and we can't learn anything out of that. So, Amrlei, Rabbi Chanina bar Shlamaya, Lerav, HaRabbi, HaRabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. You have Rabbi who says, Lo Yadati, I didn't know the answer to the question. If Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi says, if it's basar, it's a leida. If it's dam, it's nida. V'ha Rabbi Oshaya. You have Rabbi Oshaya who Reish Lakish quotes, who says that machloket between Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachamim is by a kur, not by tzalul. By Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who says that the machlokas is by tzalul. So here you have all these opinions, these four opinions. Mar, come on, severely. Who do you pass on like Rav? You have all these different opinions. What's the halacha like? Amalei, ani omer, this is my position. Echad ze, ve'echad ze, eina chosheshet. Doesn't matter if it's a kur, doesn't matter if it's a lul, we don't worry about it. It's not a leida. So Rav says, nothing to worry about over here. And therefore Rav believes the machloket between Rabbi Yeshua and the Rabbanan is bakur, and we pass him like the Rabbanan. That means by tzalul, diviakol, it's not a vlad. By akur, we pass him like the Rabbanan, and therefore there's no chashash over here. A shafir is not considered to be a leida. Shmuel amar, echadzeh, echadzeh chosheshet. Shmuel says the other way around, that we're chosesh for both of them. That we think that it's a sefik leida in both cases. V'az de Shmuel etamei. Shmuel goes according to his own position. The chiatar of dimi amar meolam lo dochu shafir bin arda. They never were mitaher a shafir bin arda. Levar mehau shfira. Except for this one instance. Da'ata lekamei de Shmuel. The manach alav chuta seara. He placed on it a thread or a hair. Mehai gisa on one side of it. V'chazi mehai gisa. It was so clear that he was able to see right through the shafir to the other side and saw the hair. Then he says, Amar, imita devladu lo'avi zig kulehai. It was definitely a vlad, it would never have been so clear. It wouldn't have been so translucent. Can't have it be a vlad and be so translucent. If that's the case, then it's definitely not a shafir. But that's the only time he was mitaher a shafir. Otherwise, he was mitameh. Now when he's mitameh, it's chosheshet. Chosheshet means misafek. Again, that means that she's yoshevet, you made tumah, and that's it. She's yoshevet, the 14 days that you made tumah, and nothing else. And that is because Shmuel is chosheshet over here. V'mayamiru kam. Our Mishnah says, if it has some formation of Ivarim to it, then already that Shafir is classified to be a Vlad. Turn up anan. Eitzahu Shafir Mirukam. What is it? What is it? What has to be developed in order to be classified as a Shafir that already has shape to it? It's not this shapeless ore that's coming out. Abishalomer Tchilat Briato Mirosho. That the beginning of its creation of the fetus is from the head. Now the problem with this, and Tosafot already points this out, is that Abba Shaul in other places says that Tchilat Briato Adam is min atibor. It's from the belly button. That's the beginning of the creation of the individual. And therefore, how can he say Mirosho over here? So Tosafot opts for the girsa of the Rach. The Rach's girsa and the Tosefta's girsa is that it's Birshon. Birshon means something that looks like a chagav, like a locust or a grasshopper. Small, looks like a small bug. That's what it means. It's telling you about the shape or the form here, not Tchilat Briato Mirosho. Just know that distinction here. Now, Shtei Nav Kishtei Tipim Shel Zvuv. The two eyes are like the eyes of a fly. Two little black dots. Tani Bichiyam Ruchakim Zemizeh. They have to be distant from each other. These two black dots that are apart. Shnei Chutmim Kishtei Tipim Shel Zvuv. Again, the nostrils, the two nostrils are just, again, like little black dots like on the fly. And Tani Rabbi Chia, over here, he modifies or qualifies it again to Mukorim Zelazeh. They have to be close together. Upiv matuach kechuta seara. The mouth is like a hair line. Ugviato and the aver. This is the male aver. Ke'adasha is similar to a lentil seed. V'maitani keva. On the other hand, if it was a female, nidona kiseura la'orka, then it has similar to a barley seed on its lengthwise, v'chatuch, that is cut. Yadayim v'raglayim ein lo. It does not yet have arms and legs. So the formation here is started from the head. That's why the term roshon makes a lot of sense here. But because of the problem of Abba Shaul in other places, Tosfot changes it to birshon. But nevertheless, we're talking about the facial features. And the facial features are beginning to develop inside of the sac, because you could see two dots that look like eyes that are far apart, two dots close together that look like a nose, a line that looks like a mouth. You've seen some beginning of the form of a Vlad, but doesn't yet have anything that are arms or legs. All right, now, Vlad mifurash b'kabbalah, we have a pasuk in the Ketuvim that seems to indicate this, which is, Halo kichalav taticheni. You poured me like milk. And you curled me like cheese. Or ubasar talbisheni. You enwrapped me in skin and flesh. And now the pasuk says, uva atzamot. I don't know, it's missing the vet here, but uva atzamot begidim tisu checheni. Again, there it's a sin, not a samach, that you knitted together or covered my bones and my sinews. This is a third pasuk. These are, so far we had two pasukim. The third pasuk is, Chaim v'chesed asita imadi. You were generous and gracious towards me. Ufkudatcha shamra ruchi. And your command put the neshama inside of me. Keeps my ruach, keeps me, my life force inside of me. So you see here an order in terms of creation. The ichalav is referring to the shechvat zera. Kekvina takpeini was curdled and that made it into a solid form now. Then or basar tabisheni. So what do you see comes first? Or and basar are there first. And then only afterwards atzamot ugidim. So you see that the formation of the fetus starts with or basar. And then only afterwards atzamot ugidim. So that would follow this position of Abba Shaul, which is that the Orem Basar can have a formation of a Vlad inside, and then yet to have arms and legs that are defined by the Atzamot and the Gidim. Tosfot mentions it here, he mentions it in another context, your question, he says, over here it sounds like the first Orem Basar, and then afterwards Atzamot and Gidim. U'b'tchiyat ha-meitim t'chazkel ipcha. It says the opposite. First they put together the atzamot v'gidim, and then they put on the skin. It's the other way around. So he says, oh, because that's the way that they died and they get undressed, that's the way they get dressed back again. So maybe over there they already existed, meaning that they were already created, and therefore they put on or outside. But maybe when you're talking about a vlad, or would be first. And the Gemara does bring from that a proof that or is first. Where it says or is sufficient from that. A shafir of or would be sufficient even without atzamot v'gidim. Even though the pasuk, you're right, is speaking about a case where the or came last, nevertheless, when they bring that as a proof, they say that that means that or is the defining factor, irrespective of anything else. You don't check it out in water. Because water is a little too aggressive, too potent to test out this shafirin. And it'll dissolve it. It'll cause it to lose the features. Do it inside of oil. Shemen is much softer and it cleanses it. Again, you know that oil and water don't go together. That might be some of the factor here. If you float it in the oil, it's easier to see and to work with. You have to look at it in the sunlight. Now, how do you check it? What do you mean? You just told me how you check it. Why do you have to know what to check it? Joel's question. How do you know whether it's a zachar or a keva? Because we just said that if it's a zachar, it's like a lentil, a dasha. If it's a keva, it's like a cracked open seora, barley kernel. Sela, ba mighty go totally daim zachar and a keva hi. Abba Shaul bar Nash, v'amila Abba Shaul bar Ramash, Omer, mevi kesam. He brings a toothpick, a splinter, shirosho chalak that has a smooth end. And you move it over that location. Im misachsech, v'yadua shezachar. If you feel some sort of resistance over there, then you know that it's a male. Zacharu. Vim lav, biyadua shenekevahi. If not, then you know that it's a female. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barbu, aloshna lamimata lamalo. You have to do that in a vertical motion, an up and down motion. Aval minat stadim. If you do it side to side, ema kodle beitarechem ninu. Then you could say that it is the walls of the beitarechem that are developing. Because if you think about it, if you have a lentil seed and you have a barley seed here. If you run horizontally across them, it's going to feel like there's resistance. On across the lentil seed, they'll feel resistance. Across the barley seed, you'll feel resistance because the crack through the barley seed is vertical along the length of the barley seed. So if you go across it horizontally, you're going to feel a resistance in both ways. If you come down vertically, then there'll be a difference. By the lentil, you get resistance. By the barley, you won't get resistance because of the cut or the crack in the barley seed. So that's all that Rabbi Nachman is saying over here, that the test has to be done up and down, not side to side. So Amar Rav Adar Bar Ava, Tana, Im Haita Nekeva, Nidona Kistora Stuka. If it's a Nekeva, then you will know it because it's like a cracked barley seed. So Matki Flor Rav Nachman, V'dilma Chut Shel Beitzim Ninhu. Maybe it is the gap between the testicles that is causing that. I mean, there's a groove there. There's also some sort of indentation over there. Amar Abaye, what are you talking about? Hashta beitzim gufayol yediyah, chutzal beitzim yediyah. Says that what we're talking about here is such a early stage of development of the fetus. There are no testicles here. We're talking about a case where we can barely make out the aver. So you're worried about the space in between them? That's not even an issue over here. You're too early in the stages to worry about that. So Amram. So now when you have development after this, so this is the next stage of development. Until now, we talk about the earliest stages of development, which is just the facial features that were there in a Shefir Merukam. Once the Edvarim start to develop, here you're going to have arms and legs start to develop. Where do you see the arms and legs? Or how do you see the arms and legs if it's a further along in the development? Tana. Bet yirei chutav kebet chutim shel zeorit. His two legs look like two
silk
strings. Amarami amamala kishel arev. That they are on the woof and that are thicker strings. Ushnei zerotav, and the arms look a bit chutim shel zorit, look like two strings. Va'amaramala kishel sheti. Those are on the warp, which are the narrower, thinner strings. The arev is the thicker, Rashi says, the thicker string, and the sheti is the thinner string. The legs or the thighs you expect to be bigger than the arms. And therefore these little strings are wider, thicker when it's talking about the legs than it is talking about the arms. It's not about the direction. What happens to be true also, it's about the thickness of the strings, not the direction. It happens to be true also, maybe. Right, that the legs would be vertical and the arms would be horizontal. But that's not the way that Rashi is explaining it. Okay, Amar Leh Shmuel, the Rav Yehuda Shinina, Lo Tavid Uvda Ad Shiyasir. Do not be mitamei tumat leida until you see hair. Oh, me, Amar Shmuel, okay? What are you talking about? We just had Shmuel before when he had a Shafir that was Apur and Salu, and he says, Chosheshet, for everything. So how could you say this? Amar Shmuel, achad zub, achad zub, chosheshet. Amar Rav Ami, bar Shmuel, didi, mefarshi lemini, demar Shmuel. I have an explanation of what Shmuel was doing. Lachush, chosheshet. When we're talking about chashash, to give her tum'at leida, only tum'at leida, 14 days of tum'ah, would be chosheish, even for a shafir, that is talul or akur. But, yimei tara, to grant her yimei tara, lo yavinin la achi yasir. You want to be full-fledged like that, you got to see hair. So for Safek, the Chumra, to say that she has Yemei Tumah, the 14 days of Tumah, that will say already by Shafir that it is Tzalul or Akur. To give her the also the Yemei Tahara that she deserves, that you have to have hair that's growing.
You're saying, you're already giving her only 1 week of Tumah, awesome.
Because we're not sure it's a Vlad.
Give her 2 weeks.
The Chashash, if it's a Vlad, it's a Zachar, but it may not be a Vlad at all. I agree with you, it seems counterintuitive that if you can determine whether it's male or female, it's not called a Vlad. I think that is, right, it seems strange. I agree with it. I don't think it's so logical, although I don't think this test was so efficacious, if you ask me. Right, Lememra, the Misvekele, the Shmuel. Wait a minute, that you're indicating here that Shmuel doesn't know how to look at a Shvir and determine what it is. Vahu Shvira da'ate the Kameh de Mar Shmuel. It's an amazing story. They brought this Shafir, this sack in front of Shmuel. Amrahar barba arim v'chad yoma. That's 41 days old. He looked at it and he knew it was 41 days old. V'choshiv, then he went back and calculated, biyom the azal tefila. When the woman went to the mikvah, adahu yoma, v'lov el arba'im yomi, and he says it's only 40 days. So Amr laho, hai benida bal. Her husband slept through when she was still in nida. He proves this from knowing that the shafir is 41 days and that she went to the mikvah only 40 days ago. Kafteh, they tied him up, they whipped him, bodhi, and he admitted that he did, boa, it was boa benida. So you see that Shmuel, he can determine whether Shafir is 40 or 41 days. What do you mean, chosheshet? He doesn't know when it's a vlad. He can tell the difference in days in the Shafir. So I said, shiny Shmuel, the Rav Guvrei. That's true for Shmuel. But Shmuel is not going to pass an aloha, general aloha for anybody else based on his ability to discern or distinguish in within a Shafir. So he could do that, but he's not going to give general aloha. So therefore he says, by the case of Shafir, when it's tzalul and akur, that's chosheshet. And when it's yasir, once you have hair on it, then it's a vadai vlad. All right, I'm a pellet sandal. In the Mishnah, we had if it gives birth to a sandal, again, a sandal is a vlad that was compressed, pressed down, flattened. Darabanan, sandal domel le dag shel yam. It's like a fish of the sea, Rashi says by that name, the sandal fish. Mitchilato vladu. It was originally a full-fledged vlad, el shenir tzaf. It got pressed down, flattened, run over. Rishimon Gamliel Omer, sandal domel le lashon shel shor gadol. It's like the tongue, it looks like a tongue of a large ox. A sandal, in order to be classified as a leida, needs a facial features. It needs a turet panim, human facial features. So I'm Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Aloha, sandal, tzirik, turet panim. That's Aloha like the Rabbanan. Amar Rav Ada, Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Mitzchak. Sandal, tzirik, turet panim. Va'afilu me'achurav. Doesn't matter where the turet panim is. Doesn't matter if it's on the front side or on the back side. Because I feel mashal adam, it's equivalent to a person shesataret chaveiro that smacked his friend's face. When you smack the face, the person turns their face, spins around. So that is the same thing here. So the face can be in either direction. It doesn't matter if it's facing forward or facing back. Bimei Rabbi Yanai bakshu l'taheret sandal shein lo tzuret panim. Time Rabbi Yanai, they wanted to say a sandal that doesn't have tzuret panim is tahor legamrei. I'm Rabbi Yanai, tiartam et habladot. You're being mataher something that is a vlad. Tanya, what are you talking about? We just had this. So why is Rabbi Yamai claiming over here that he's not willing to be a mitayer sandal without tzurat panim? If that is the qualification for a sandal to be a vlad, is tzurat panim. So Rabbi Barabai, Rabbi Yochanan, meidutu shereb nechunya nishnet mishnah zu. This is based, that mishnah was based on the edut, the testimony of Rabbi Nechunya, meaning it's a dat yachid. That position in the Rabbonon was quoted from the testimony of Rabbi Nechunya, which makes it into a dat yachid in the end. Because he's the only one who had that misora of the Rabbonon saying that. I'm Rabbi Zira, Zocha bar Rabbi Bishmate. Rabbi was Zocha to this memra, Danu Havina Yatvina Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Zira says, I and Rabbi were sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan, we both learned this from Rabbi Yochanan. When he said over this, that's what Rabbi just quoted from Rabbi Yochanan, that this halacha of the Rabbanon, that a sandal requires surat panim, is from Rabbi Nechunya ben Kana, it's a dat yachid, we were both there. And he spoke up first, and therefore now it's going to be said in his name. We both had the information, and they asked a question about what was going on here with Rabbi Yanai. And Rabbi responded first, and now it's going to be said over in his name, that he quoted in his name, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, this is all Rabbi Nechunya. And I knew the same information, but I didn't jump, but I didn't have it at the tip of my tongue, and I didn't get it first. So he says, Mazal Garamlo. He had the good fortune of being at the right place at the right time, and speaking up, and therefore now the memory will be said over in his name. So Lama Yiskiru Sandal. So why did they mention Sandal? Now this goes back to something I mentioned in the Mishnah, which is that the Gemara believes here, how is a Sandal formed? It was a full-fledged vlad, and then it was flattened out. How did it get flattened out? There was another ubar in there. There was another fetus inside of it. It's twins. And one of the twins smushed the other twin. That's the belief of the Gemara, and that's what the Gemara asks here. Lama yuskan sandal. Why does a sandal make a difference? Halo ain't sandal shenimo vlad. A sandal is created by being flattened or crushed by the other vlad that's there. That means that there is another birth, no matter what. There's going to be one full-fledged fetus and one sandal. So why is the sandal maleo morid over here? Why does it make a difference? She's tamei tumat leida because she's going to have a full-fledged fetus anyway. So Mara says, idi delida nekeva bade hachanami. If the full-fledged fetus is a female, then you're right, in hachanami, there is no difference over here. Because a female gets 2 weeks of tumah, and then she'll get 66 days of terah b'vadaut. She has a regular baby that's born in a keva. The sandal here will be meaningless. Hachabai skinan di delin zachar bade. That a male was born. And we don't know what the sandal is. So by a male, she'll get 7 days of tumah, 33 days of tahara. But what happens if the sandal was a nikeva? If the sandal is a nikeva, then she would have to have 2 weeks of tumah and 66 days of tahara, and the zachar would not be male or mori. It wouldn't make a difference. So ma'u the tema. So this is, what's the havam, you know? Okay, you're right. That makes sense. Ho'il, v'alma Rabbi Yitzchak bar Ami. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Ami has a statement. Isha mazret chila. If the woman seeds first, you'll let it zachar, give birth to a male. Ish mazriat chila, the male seeds first, you'll let it nekeva, then it's a female. It's based in Parshat Vayetze, Rashi brings this down. Why are the female children ascribed to Yaakov, and the male children ascribed to the mothers? So the answer is because of this position over here in the Gemara of Rabbi Yitzchak, that the woman is the one who determines that it's a male, and the male determines if it is a female. Has to do with this Hazrat. I mentioned this prior, that the Gemara believes that the woman is also Mazrat. Whatever that means. That the woman also has some sort of Zri'ah. Now, we know that the woman ovulates. I don't know if that's what the Gemara is referring to. The Gemara looks at the Zri'at Aisha as being internal, and the male Zri'ah being external. The Shekhbazar is external, that the woman has some sort of equivalent internally. Again, to make sense of it about versus biology today, I'm not exactly sure, but let's call it ovulation. The ovulation cycle has a window of opportunity to be impregnated. So it would depend where along that ovulation cycle that you fertilize the egg. And that might be the determining factor here. Earlier or later, during the ovulation cycle, that would determine Zachar Nekeva, if I was to translate what the Chazal are saying into the modern biology. So then, what we would have thought, based on this position of Rabbi Yitzchak, Medaha Zachar, Hai Nami Zachar. Meaning, if it's determined by the Isha or the male, then they all twins should be the same gender. Because it all has to do with this point of fertilization, how it happened, what happened first, what happened second. And therefore, twins should automatically be the same gender. Kamash Milan, no. Ema, this is interesting. Shnehem, Yisrael, Bavat Achat. The man and the woman Whereas Ria Bevatachat, Hai Zachar Vaina Keva, and therefore you could have a male and female. So in order to reconcile, the Gemara doesn't want to undermine Rabbi Yitzchak and say, oh, what happened? We see we have twins that are different genders. So what does Gemara say? Gemara says, oh, that was when they happened simultaneously. So there you can have Zachar Nekeva. If it happened that female is Mazreya Tchila, then they'll both be males. If it's that the male Mazreya Tchila, then they'll both be females. If it's simultaneous, then you can have a Zachar Nekeva. So that's the Kamash Malan over here, that even though she gave birth to Zachar, and we don't know what the sandal is, we don't assume that the sandal is automatically a Zachar, it's a Safek Nekeva. So Safek Nekeva, she'll get 2 weeks of Tumah because of the Safek Nida, the Safek Nekeva, and then she'll get 26 days of Tarak. She did have a Zachar, so we know she has some days of Tarak. So Dvar Acher, another Nafkamina would be, She'im Teled Nekeva Lifnei Shkiyat Chama. She gives birth right before sunset to a female. This sandal lachar shkiyat hachama. And then she gives birth to the sandal right after sunset. Mone tchilat nidal rishon utchilat nidal acharon. You have to count 2 cycles. I'll talk about this in a second. I'll come back and talk about this. Now, sandal, I'll come back and explain this. Sandal, ditnan, gabei bichorot, omai yuchato. We have a Mishnah in Bichorot that says that a sandal that is given birth, that you have to worry about it. So what is this? This sandal that comes afterward is a bechor. What is that for? The bachara, bechor lenachala, vein bechor lekohen. The reason that we mention sandal by bechorot is because if a woman discharges a sandal, then whatever comes afterwards is still a bechor lenachala because it's not something that libo dovel lav. Not something that the father's heart is drawn after. And therefore there's still a bechor lenachala because of reishit no. But as far as peter rechem, the sandal is poter the rechem, and there is no Bechor Lekohen afterwards. Now, Sandal Letznan Gabi Kretot, the Sandal is mentioned in Kretot, the Mayhu Chutot, what is that halacha for? Shim Teleid Vlad Derech Dofen. If she gives birth to a C-section, the Sandal Derech Rechem, and the Sandal comes through the birth canal, the Maita Korban, a Sandal. She brings a Korban for a Sandal, and that's based on the Drush of the Chachamim, that only if you have a birth through the birth canal do you bring a Korban for Leida. Isha ki tezriya v'yalda. That has to be the same way that she's Mazrat, that she is Yalda. But the Rabbi Shimon Damar Yotzei Derech Dofen, Vlad Ma'al Yohu, according to Rabbi Shimon says that even a C-section is classified as a Vlad, and that would be classified as a Leida, Michael the Maymar. Then what's by Sandal, like Kretot, that's mentioned in the Mishnah, what's the value of that? So Mariyur Miyashim, Teleid Vlad Behayota Obedet Kochavim. She gives birth to a Vlad, a full-fledged Vlad, while she's still a non-Jew. And then the sandal achar she nitgara, after she converts, she gives birth to the sandal, the mighty korban, a sandal. She brings the korban leida on this sandal. So we have this sandal mentioned in numerous mishnayot. And so this sandal, in each case, what's the halachic ramifications of this sandal? So over here, we're dealing with tumat leida, tumat nida. Over there, by Bechorot, we're dealing with Peter Rechem and Nachala, Bechor and Nachala. By Kretot, we're dealing with the Korban Leida. So all these cases are cases where sandals mention the Mishnah and what the Nafkamina is from that.
Then the reason isn't,
ain't sandal below Vlad. No, that's a fact. Ain't sandal below Vlad. Mar says, then why does it make a difference if the sandal is a Vlad? And that the whole question here is, if there is always a Vlad with the sandal, what's the Nafkamina then if the sandal is a Vlad? So in all these cases, we come up with nafkamino that the sandal is a Vlad, has implications, even though there's another Vlad with it. So for instance, the sandal comes out first, and then the twin comes afterwards, it's not Petarechem, it's not a Bechor Lekohen. And the sandal will have nafkamino even though there's another Vlad along with it. Going back to what we said at the bottom, what is this thing that it's Nidal Rishon, Nidal Sheni? Rashi brings 2 possible interpretations rather than what this means. If she has one before sunset, one after sunset, then, where do her 80 days start counting from? You have either the 80 days start from the day before, or the next day. If she has an Nekeva, and then she has a Sandal. So what happens if the Sandal is also an Nekeva? Then you have 2 Nekevot that are born a day apart, but it's only a Safek Nekeva, the second one. So if I go from the first birth, which is a real Vlad, full-fledged Vlad Nekeva, she counts 80 days. On the 81st day, if she has a sighting, she would be Tchilat Nida. She would be a Nida at that point. But she also had a sandal after sunset. That's the next day. The 80 days for the sandal, if it was a nekeva, would terminate a day after the first nekeva. So if she sees dam on the 81st day, there are 2 possibilities. That dam could be dam leida for the sandal. Or, which would be dam toar, that's the days of Tara. Or, it could be dam nida that came after the 80 days of the first nekeva. Vlad, because the second one was a Zachar. Second one's a Zachar, it went concurrently, it subsumed, and then it gave out. There is no Yemei Tara for the 81st day. So therefore, you have a Safek on the 81st day, if she has a sighting, whether that's Tchilat Nida, or that is Tara, Dam Tara. So that's one way to explain it. That you are Monet Tchilat Nida Rishon, or Tchilat Nida Acharon. You have to count that Tchilat Nida, both from the Rishon, meaning that 81st day will be classified as Tchilat Nida Misafek, and Tchilat Nida Acharon. And for the Acharon, it will be classified as Dam Tara, she won't be a Nida then. Then if she only sees Dam like 7 days later, is she now a Tchilat Nida or a Izava? So that's the same. We're Choshesh for both of them. That's one way Rashi learns it. The other way Rashi learns it has to do with the Yimei Tum'ah. When do our 14 days of Yimei Tum'ah end? Is it Tchilat Nida L'Mishon or Tchilat Nida L'Sheni? If you say that the Nekeva, Vadait, came out first, 14 days later, at the end of her Yimei Tum'ah, on the 15th day, she's already seeing Yimei Tovah. If you say now it counts from the second one was in Ekeva, then the 14 days really end a day later. So she has Yimei Tum'ah that should extend a day later. So that 15th day will be Safek, whether it's Dmei Tohar or Dmei Tumah. Because you have a Safek as to whether that 15th day is really the 14th day from the Sandal, or you're already in the Yimei Tohar because it was a Zachar and they were subsumed in the Nekeva. Okay, we'll stop over here.